Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to Friday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and you. Great to be in with you, despite this ice that's being puked from the sky, or rain. Thought it was going to be 70 and awesome. Nope. I should probably pay attention to a forecast. We'll get into some Nebraska basketball thoughts. Thoughts on the mayor as the week of the mayor continues. My God, has this been the longest, most drawn out? When will he get here? That's what you're thinking as a Nebraska fan right now. We'll spend some time on it. We'll talk some spring football, too, as Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal Star, going to join us in 15 minutes. Get caught up with him. Another junior day tomorrow. Greg Smith of Hail Varsity at 5 o'clock. And then Dean Blevins. Let's head on down to Oklahoma City. And I'm going to talk to Dean about what it takes to be a football and basketball power. Oklahoma is. Maybe that's a stretch to call them a power in basketball, but they've been to a few Final Fours in recent years. They've been to some Elite Eights, some Sweet 16s. They've had really good teams. They've been to the tournament. And so we'll talk with Mr. Blevins, get his take on the mayor as well from an NBA perspective. So that's on the docket. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. So we have some mayor music here, not John Mayer. The only guy in the world that likes John Mayer's Uncle Andy, my brother-in-law, bless his heart. But it worked out for him at the ATO house. So we're waiting on Fred Hoiberg or whoever the next Nebraska coach will be. 2:06 today, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN fame got his thumbs active when Woj tweets, "You stop and pay attention." Discussions between Nebraska and Fred Hoiberg remain ongoing today for the school's head coaching job, a source tells ESPN. Why? Is this thing not signed? Isn't it done? Is there not a gentleman's agreement to leave Fred alone in the Caribbean? Is there not a gentleman's agreement to leave Fred alone while he can watch his son tip off at 6:09 or watch the tip off at 6:09 in D.C. as Sparty takes on LSU? By the way, LSU and Auburn will have wins vacated in a year and a half, I guarantee you, for this tournament run this year. That's besides the point. How do you deem this as a Nebraska fan? Is it sweet? Woj is tweeting about Nebraska. And it's not Roby. It's not an awesome steak experience. It's not the first trip to Memorial Stadium. It's actually Nebraska basketball. Do you look at it that way? Or is there something else going on? If talks are ongoing, that means there's still negotiations. Mm-hmm. And if there are negotiations ongoing per this tweet, you can read into it 15 different ways. Does that mean it ain't a sure thing? And I get it. It ain't over till it's over. Thank you, Eric Church. But man, I mean, do you think there's cold feet right now? Think about Coach Frost. He had cold feet for just a second. Till he talked with Coach Osborne. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Fred's like got cold feet about coaching again or necessarily Nebraska. I'm just wondering from is my heart set on it standpoint. The bar to reach is low, much lower than anywhere else you're going to go. Mm-hmm. The money you're going to make, Colton, is high. very high, top five or six in the country. All you got to do is win in March once, right? Well, is it really like, God, I want to coach, but man, I don't know if I want to go back to college. So here's some questions we can chat with, and you can jump in. 466-377-6800, 825-5865. You can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com and follow us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio or at @2birds1stone for Colton Stone. So, you know, Moose is giving you the timeline, 7 to 14 days. So the Woj tweet, what's it mean? Well, it could mean this. Somebody in Woj's camp, I should say somebody in the mayor's camp, planted this with Woj. Woj is locked in with everybody. Mm-hmm. You do business with Woj, or Woj is not nice to you in your front office. The power of the Twitter, the power of the story. And people want to make nice and play nice, and Woj is world famous and universally respected. So Nebraska's on Woj's radar for the first time ever, okay? So somebody from Fred's camp was contacted about the Nebraska gig by Woj. What's going on? Well, discussions remain ongoing. If they're ongoing, do you immediately say, oh, dear God, you tripped over the hurdle and something's hit a snag? I think that immediately, because there's a point here of Nebraska basketball and nice things. You have an amazing arena, amazing practice facility, amazing fan base. Mm-hmm. You've had a really good and energetic coach that you just let go. It would be so Nebraska basketball to botch this. And not necessarily Moose, but have something bad go wrong. Mm-hmm. Lucy holding the football for Chuck. Gone. Chicago Cubs right there. It finally happened for the Cubs. World Series, right? So, as a Nebraska basketball fan, are you taking a deep exhale saying it's going to happen? We just got to be patient. Fred's on his way here. Nebraska basketball will matter at a level that's never mattered before. Or are you worried something's going to blow a tire on this thing?
I mean, there's two parts to this. The one being the immediate freak out and kind of saying like, okay, there's obviously something that the sides aren't agreeing on. The other side of it...
Can we say buyout?
Yeah, buyout. How many assistants you can, you know... Is everyone going to stay? Whatever.
Find the Moose, brother. Blank check. Go do it.
Almost blank. Is it years? Is it, you know, that could be all those different things. The other side of it is you watch the Moose press conference, you watch his body language and how vague he was, and then you hear how vague some of, like, oh, well, they're still talking. Oh, well, you know.
Are they talking about what he wants to eat?
Right, and that's the thing.
On the private jet ride in?
Is it that?
Are they talking about
this guy in, but we need this kind of a budget?
Right.
Like, it seems like everyone's just been really vague the past week. And not that it's, you know, ever been specific, but I think everyone's kind of trying to keep a poker face. That way it's not like, you know, they're running up and down the street yelling it.
It is a business negotiation, and you tip off in an hour and 5 minutes with Michigan State. And he doesn't want it to be a distraction. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be questioned about it watching his kid tonight. The topic of transfer. You have Thomas Allen. And I'm talking about also the Jack Hoiberg. Does he come play for his dad and leave Michigan State? So here's what you have. You have somebody in Fred Hoiberg's camp responding to Woj's tweet. My question is it one last fishing cast? Is it one last Hail Mary? Is it one last rescue flare to other colleges or the NBA? I mean, there's been how many college jobs have come open? Like, there were 23 originally open, then there were 20, and Nebraska whacked Tim Miles' earlier this week. It seems like a lifetime ago.
Mm-hmm. So
Arkansas is open right now.
Arkansas, Buffalo,
South Dakota State.
South Dakota State was filled. They hired within.
The assistant.
Nebraska's right. open. I but believe UNLV, UCLA's still open.
But UNLV, and Fred's already talked with UCLA, and he had to go to La La Land.
Arizona might open up. That one's a question.
They're going to hang on to him until they can't hang on to him.
So the FBI says,
Well, listen, they... Arizona's a team you need in March.
Yeah.
Pac-12's had one Final Four appearance, and it was Oregon in the last 10 years. That's bad. That's awful.
Mm-hmm.
So, is this one last little, hey, I'm going to say I do to Nebraska here, basketball world.
Someone
unless,
stop me.
Unless you come in here with a better offer.
Mm-hmm.
You hear what I'm saying, NBA? That's maybe my read on it. I don't know. Maybe it's just, all right, we've already got old man Moose up to four. Can we push him to 4.5?
Mm-hmm.
Do we scare him into paying more? Because we know right now he's already fired his coach. Maybe things aren't signed. Maybe we squeeze some more money out of him. Or is it discussions continue, as in, well, what's it going to take to get Matt Abdelmassi back to the Midwest?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, brother, I know you've been back east and you're a New York guy. Get some Lazaris when you get here. So, listen, all signs point to Nebraska. This is a leverage thing to get a more favorable contract for either him or either Hoiberg himself or his assistants. So is that number going to go? What was the? We'll never know, right? Was the original number from Moose to Fred 3.2? Is it 3.8? Is that number at 4? Is that number going to get closer to Frost money? Okay, say you get Fred. Say you get Fred, he's announced Monday.
You can't pay him more than Frost.
Well, that's fine, but can you pay him the same amount as you pay Frost? 7 years, $35 million?
I would say no, but at the same time, it would show the same commitment to basketball that it does to football.
Well, and if we're going to be real a-holes about it, Fred's gone to 4 NCAA tournaments.
Yeah.
And he's won in the postseason. Scott's gone undefeated, right? I mean, they've had past success.
Plus Heisman winners, so on and so forth.
Like Fred's done it longer at a higher level, i.e. Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say this. I mean, I know Iowa State wasn't in a great spot when Fred took over, but it sure as hell wasn't like leftovers from Riley, like Scott inherited.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a shot at the players that came back. That's culturally.
Yeah.
So I'm just interested here. Are you freaked out by Woj, or is it just posturing? And I can't see Fred. The number I heard originally, and I'm sticking with, is 7 years, $28 million. I think there's just maybe some last-minute discussions, if anything, about if he wants white or wheat rolls with whatever is going to be served on the airplane home from D.C. after Michigan State loses to Duke in the Elite Eight on Sunday.
Yeah, I there's just
to be introduced and announced Monday
right
at Nebraska.
There's just a part of me that's like, if it's not Nebraska, and then it has to be the NBA, because I don't think there's another personally.
He was not attached
another.
To if they wanted to drive the price up, and he really sure as hell didn't want to come to Lincoln. He would have, and he can't get an NBA job. He would have taken UCLA, or he would have taken other jobs.
Yeah, I just can't think that it's not Nebraska, because like we've said, I look at the expectations of Nebraska basketball as kind of like the kid that makes it through tryouts because he's got potential and he's got raw talent, but he hasn't quite
figured it out.
You know, if it's a base, he's not hitting 15 home runs, but the kid can get on base, right?
He hits straight ball very well, curveball no like.
Right, exactly. So I just think like if you're comparing it to UCLA, I know he's already said no, but a program that's won titles versus Nebraska, who's got all the facilities and fan base. And the expectations, you can create your own.
Right. Well, you can write your own story.
Yeah.
I think when push comes to shove, this is posturing for maybe a better buyout. God, I'm already saying he's out the door. Slap me again. I think he's here for 3 years if and when he is introduced. Minimum of three. Maybe he falls in love with college. But this may be one last wink at his ex-girlfriend known as the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be one more wink to a guy who's treated him like a son and he considers a father figure the owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves. You're not going to the postseason. What are you thinking? I keep getting texts about Orlando. Listen, they've got a first-year coach, okay? He might like the beach. Eventually, you're going to see Mickey and Minnie hammered. It'll ruin it for the kids. Okay. Orlando is cool to visit, not live. People who are from Orlando say, whatever, it's raining ice on you. All right, Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal Star's coming up. Greg Smith on the way. Dean Blevins coming up. Great to be with you on a Friday.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. Great to be with you. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Greg Smith coming up. Another junior day for the Big Red. We'll hear from Mr. Greg. Dean Blevins, as he is part of the Sports Animal in Oklahoma City, will get his take. What is going on? Did you tick Parker off at work last night?
No. I did not see my work last night, actually.
Colton Stone is the hardest working man. He's ready. He just texted me back.
Okay.
So without further ado, he is going to put his Superman cape on, comb his wonderful beard, and join us here. Parker Gabriel in mere moments. We're talking about Adrian Wojnarowski's tweet, Mr. ESPN Insider. We had the dramatic, paused, crazy, sinister music regarding the Woj. Oh. Talks are ongoing with Nebraska. I don't know. I think the ink's been drying for a while. Colton is going to beat the hell out of this phone system. It's wonderful. Well, we'll do a full mea culpa. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. That's where you can dial in. You can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal Star, is with us. Parker, next time you see Colton at his other gig where you see him, I expect hazing. Can you do that for me?
Oh, yeah, I'll be perfectly happy to, actually.
So are you more of a Full Metal Jacket guy with socks and bar of soap? Or, I mean, how do you get down with hazing?
I don't think the human resources director at the Journal Star would appreciate me delving into the details of how I plan on hazing a fellow employee.
There will be meetings.
There'll be some creativity. You know, I guess the main thing is his nickname at the Journal Star is Crouton.
What?
Crouton. That's what Sipple bequeathed him with that nickname. I think maybe. Colton came with us to Big Ten Football Media Days last summer, and I'll begrudgingly say did a really good job taking a lot of video.
Well, he combed his hair that day.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and he didn't wear a basketball jersey to the conference room floor at the hotel in Chicago, so that was good. But, yeah, I don't know. Crouton just kind of stuck from then on out.
Well, damn it. I'm gonna take it and run with it. We're gonna double dip with it. Okay, I gotta ask you here with Woj's tweet back at 2:06 Central Standard Time. Do you read that as a final Hail Mary from the mayor to the NBA? Do you read into it as, well, if Uncle Moose is going to pay me four, maybe 4.5 isn't out of the question? Or is it just Woj saying, yeah, I'm still locked into all things formerly of the NBA, and Nebraska's got their name associated with my timeline? Is there any freak-out level for you with Nebraska and Hoiberg right now?
I don't think so. I think maybe it maybe is one piece of information that extends the thought that's maybe been percolating that it's not officially done. I mean, I think that there was some – he was such a overwhelming favorite, and there's so much reporting out there from the Journal Star and a lot of other outlets that it was – you know, a foregone conclusion, if not officially, you know, not officially done. We have not reported that ever at any point that it was like, you know, lock, stock, and barrel official. I don't think anyone has. But I wonder, I mean, I think it's exactly what it sounds like. The talks are ongoing, which would mean that there hasn't been anything finalized at this point. I mean, I know, you know, he's been on vacation. Obviously, Michigan State plays in Washington, D.C. tonight. So I don't think it's a big shock. I don't think it's a big reason for I don't think it's a freak-out situation or anything like that, but I do think it's another indication among many that it's – even if it's still what everyone expects to happen, it's not official at this point.
See, and there's a section of the Nebraska basketball fan base that – I mean, they're waiting for something bad to happen, Parker. Losing him at the last moment.
Yeah, well, you know, strange things happen this time of year in basketball, just like they do in December and January, you know, with football coaches. And I think that, you know, I wouldn't rule anything out. I mean, I guess that's the thing. You know, it seems. From everything that I know, and I think we know at the mm-hmm. Journal Star, you know, I think it's still what people expect to happen. But, you know, I mean, I people point to Dana Altman calling the Hogs all the time. You know, it's a slightly different example, but Nate Oates signed an extension at Buffalo through 2024, and then 13 days later, he was the head coach at Alabama just, you know, this week. So that's not. I say that all without suggest. I'm not trying to suggest that something bad is going to happen as it pertains to Nebraska and Fred Hoiberg. It's one of those things that these deals, whether it's Scott Frost or Fred Hoiberg or any school hiring any coach, it's hard to get all of the pieces lined up and to get this type of thing across the finish line. And that's why guys like Bill Moose have high pressure jobs.
Parker Gabriel's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Can find Parker on Twitter, can tweet at him at HuskerExtraPG, and good stuff. I love your take on hoops. We'll talk a little spring football, and I know your story on Adrian Martinez is on the site today, and the moments. And you know what? It's really cool to see just where this team's at. And again, it's not just a grain, but it's a bucket of salt. It's spring. But Parker, man, don't you just feel that this team is more confident, but it feels real? Like it feels like a real confidence where they're doing the right things and they're hitting in practice and they're locked in and they want to be better, but they're doing all that's in their power to become that. And I was pretty kind of blown back by just how real Frost was. Not that he's fake, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying his excitement level is a better way to put it. On Wednesday with just how his team's coming out. I mean, it's normal, isn't it, to have a lull in some point of spring, and that's okay to do after spring break's done. But, man, they've come in locked in and ready to go.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that, you know, I thought that the excitement was genuine from Scott, too, on Wednesday. I was saying this earlier this week. You, as someone who covers the team, you want to be a little bit wary. I always try to be wary about, you know, job isn't supposed to be you just parrot whatever everybody says, right? I mean, that's part of it, but you want to take stock of things in a way where you're not just, you know, you're not just the amp, you're not just the megaphone for whatever the coach says. But I think that one of the things that's been really consistent since Scott was hired here in December of 2017, he's talked a lot about the little things, the little things, the little things, the little things. And that's, you know, he said, I think they believe that culture and leadership more than talent is what leads you to getting that sort of stuff right. It's what leads you to pull your hair out when you don't have enough of it, when you have 16 penalties or you average 11 penalties a game for the first five games of the season last year, and you're getting penalized more than anybody else in the country. And so I think that the enthusiasm and the genuine excitement from Scott this week is that he likes where the leadership is, and he likes, you know, he talked about maturity with this team. If this is a disciplined, mature team, they might not be the most talented group. You know, they're going to face teams that maybe have better talent top to bottom than they do this fall. But if they play the right way, quote unquote, and they do the things that the coaching staff wants them to do, and they get the little stuff right, that could have made a difference in, I mean, just count them last year. Colorado, Troy for sure, Purdue, maybe even Wisconsin, Northwestern for sure. I mean, you're talking about, you know, four games at least, five maybe, that are in the balance, and it was just sloppy play that cost them dearly. And that's, I think, among a lot of other things, improved play from the quarterback position, scheme familiarity, the defense being a year older in this group, in the system, I think that just not shooting yourself in the foot from the beginning is going to go a long ways, and that's what that enthusiasm from Scott, I felt like that's what it was about on Wednesday.
I think you're right. The little things turn into big things, and about a minute and a half here, Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal Star with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Did you expect Darian Daniels to have this type of impact?
I think yes, but I wasn't quite sure. I mean, he didn't, you know, he played in only the four games last year before he got hurt. The Big 12 obviously isn't known for its stingy defenses, nor is Oklahoma State. So I didn't quite know.
That's being awful kind.
Yeah. So I didn't know quite what, I didn't want to make it out to that being like, you know, that they're getting, you know,
it's not Sue coming in
or something like that. Yeah, right. But I think that I thought the leadership part would be there, and obviously he's played a lot of football at the major conference level. So I thought that he'd be an impact player, but I do think that it's outstripping so far. You know, he certainly lived up to the expectations or maybe even exceeded it so far.
All right, Parker, thanks for jumping on with us, and you had another junior day tomorrow. You'll be all over, I assume?
Yeah, a lot of guys coming in, and Nebraska offered, you know, in-state kid today, 2021 defensive back Avante Dickerson from Omaha Westside. And, yeah, I think the next couple of months are shaping up to be sort of when the bones of the 2020 class start to come together.
Good enough, man. Have a good weekend. Thanks for making time today, man. Appreciate you.
Yep. We'll see you guys.
Take care.
Crouton.
There he is. Crouton. So we got very little time here. We're going to get into that in a moment. We're also going to hear from Lamar Jackson, kind of a new Lamar Jackson. We'll take some calls, 466-3776-800-825-5865. Can email Chris at alevarsity.com. Give us a follow on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio. At Two Birds, One Stone for Colton Stone. And we may have to play a Friday game, start a Friday game. We do it Saturdays. It's Guess Colton's Hat. We may have to guess what sports hoodie Colton's got on today. Maybe we'll start doing that Fridays. Some spring football thoughts coming up. Hail Varsity continues.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Coming up, Craig Smith will be with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine recruiting analyst. We'll talk, recruiting with Greg. Also, some hoops thoughts. We'll let him whine about his Lakers to us. Dean Blevins going to join us as well from Oklahoma. Does a great job NBA. He's been around seeing Texas Tech and Oklahoma, obviously, in the Big 12, and seeing Zion up close and personal. We'll get his take on the other part of the Sweet 16 tonight. At any point in time, did you bail on Purdue last night? I'm going to assume you're doing the SEC thing and you're cheering for your conference, or more so your bracket. And I'm lucky because I have Tech and I have Purdue. I'm not going to be the rest of the cliche about the guy that talks about his bracket. I talk about it enough in parts. But Purdue looked like Final Four amazing until Tennessee grew a pair, came back, and then it got scary. Then Purdue eventually won in overtime. Awesome game. Better game last night, Tennessee v. Purdue, or better game last Sunday, Central Florida Duke?
I think
last night's got to give me the little icing because of overtime.
Yeah.
You had the three-pointer at the end that was fouled, and the guy, Edwards, had to make two free throws.
Yeah.
Right? He had to make two after he missed the first, and he shot awful. You had Klein go off. 7 out of 10 from three-point land.
Yeah, who was it? I think Seth Davis called that one. Someone tweeted, "You'd never like guys like Klein don't have bad games back to back. He'll have at least 6 three-pointers. He had 7.
Well, if it was Seth would be obviously on an infomercial talking about how great he was predicting that. Seth wears me out. Smart guy. He's been on the show with us before, but Seth likes him some Seth. That's why he's been exiled away from Barkley and Ernie and the gang. They hate him.
As far as between the games, I think excitement level may go to the UCF-Duke game based on what could have been. Mm. But as far as like
the little guy, power seed,
right? Yeah. But power v power, yeah. Last night's game was incredible, especially since Purdue should have just ran away with the damn.
Oh, thing. You're up 18, and it's a Rick Barnes team.
I didn't even know the score was that bad at halftime. I didn't watch the first half. I watched the second half, and I was like, what?
It was yeah. a bludgeoning. Yeah. Some of us were having beer and wings last evening, and I look up from feeding my face, and it's down to 10. I'm in the car listening to it on the way home, bringing takeout back home, and it's 3. And then you're like, "Oh my God, they're down."
Yeah, but good for Purdue. I mean, they're and
I fell asleep. I didn't make it to the end of Oregon. It was Gonzaga.
You would have fallen asleep for the Oregon game, anyways.
I mean, I watched the first half.
Yeah, it was. Well, Virginia basketball, we talked about yesterday, is just a snoozer. Anyways,
it's awesome and it sucks at the same time.
Did you watch any of the Texas Tech game?
I mean, I waited for commercials. I mean,
also a snoozer.
I caught everything I could last night, but that was so bad.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if Tech can bring it against Gonzaga.
I hope so. Michigan, obviously, their defense is somewhat suffocating. They're very good at that portion.
Yeah, well, they're just not the same team offensively.
No, they haven't. I did the last time they scored 80 points was against Nebraska.
Yeah, they went
which
off.
I guess a lot of the season they didn't score 80
They're just not as tough a team. They're just not as tough a team this year. I get to some emails coming up. Brett was insulted per email, Chris at HaleVarsity.com. He did not get invited for wings. It's because you dissed Danny's picks. How did Danny's picks go last night?
He got Florida State covering wrong. I mean, that's
well, Florida State was right there.
Yeah,
down
Gonzaga
4.
Kind of just ran away with it a little bit. Let's see. He took Tech, I believe.
Tech and Purdue
at 1, and then yeah, I think he took Purdue at -2, -2, whatever they were at.
We'll hold him a little bit more to the fire for tonight. Let's talk some spring football here. How about Lamar Jackson? Huh? How about the new and improved Lamar Jackson? We've said this story before, but it's real this time. Where the guy's working it and locking in on it, and he is, I don't want to call it the Unity Council because it's not been deemed that by Scott Frost, but he's part of the Elder Statesman Council. And Lamar became a daddy, had a little boy named Legacy on Monday. Good for him. But it's hitting him about, yeah, now I'm responsible for life, man. I'm responsible for my little dude. Here's Lamar's kind of reaction to that. And again, Lamar's one of these guys that's needed to grow up. He has grown up. Good for him. And it sounds like it.
Yeah, it's just, you kind of got no choice. Like, just being, just the whole little process of just having a child and stuff like that is just, it's just life changing. Honestly, it's hard to explain. I'm pretty sure some of you guys got kids, so y'all know. So I'm young. I loved every moment of it. It ain't no book to this, so I'm just going to keep working. Like, I feel like I was going to do what I had to do anyway. This is my last year. So now, like you said, now it's just mandatory now. So now it's time to turn it up a little bit and just keep going.
Something bigger than you, right? That's the biggest thing that coaches got to get across to kids who come in. And I mean, Lamar is a dude who got put into his head that, look, man, you're going to be a pro. And Lamar's a dude that didn't like a lot of contact. Lamar's a guy that didn't like practice real hard. Lamar's a guy who thought he knew it all. And he's the first to stand up and go, man, was I off? And Coach Fish and that tough love and Coach Frost and Coach Chenander did a lot to help him grow up. And Lamar did a lot to help himself grow up. We all grow up differently. I mean, there's a kind of a get punched in the face moment. And for him, it was finally someone having enough guts to bench him. Because everywhere he's ever been beforehand, he had the playing time leverage. Fine, I'll go somewhere else. And people will take me because I'm a freak athlete. Contact was also a point of discussion this week with Lamar Jackson. And yes, he's a fan of it.
Because coaches always trying to find little ways and mix in live periods, certain tempos, just to get us some good on good action. I mean, we in spring, but we got to compete. We got to get better. I mean, going on air is good and it helps, but at the end of the day, we got to play football, so it's good to get some periods in here and there, getting some big-on-big contact and stuff like that, and just being able to compete. Like today, we had some live goal line and stuff like that, so we're just working each day, just following the script and just trying to build on this thing.
Lamar talks a little bit about the team leadership, and Coach Frost doesn't demand, but he'll suggest to his team, and guys are taking his suggestions.
Pretty much all suggestions, but at the end of the day, we know, like I said, we know what our coach wants. He's going to suggest it just because, you know, we certain stuff we can't do. But at the end of the day, this is our team. Like, he sits the captains down all the time and just asks us, what are we going to do? And, like, it ain't even that him. It's like, what y'all plan on doing to make sure y'all team don't come back hungover? What you going, like, what y'all finna put in place? Can bring back, let me know what y'all want to do, blah, blah, blah. So he's allowing us to do it and stuff like that, which is good because it's giving a lot more people roles on his team and allowing them to embrace the roles, coming off them onto the other teammates, just seeing everybody buy in and accept the roles and stuff like that.
Frost knows that it needs to be their team, but they need guidance because he's the head coach. That's what he's doing. Here's what needs to happen. You guys make sure it happens. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Should we do emails? We have anything we can give? Check that middle drawer. Is there anything we can give away? Prizes? Maybe. Colton's looking for something stashed in the middle drawer to paint the picture for you. He's in a, 8x10 cell where there's no ability to monitor warm or cold. Right now it's 1,000 degrees. And he's digging and digging and digging. Is there any expired coupons?
You want to go to a Salt Dogs game in 2018?
Yes is always the answer. Yes, you want to go to a Salt Dogs game. But.
Probably not last July.
Not in last July. When you do go to that Salt Dogs game, buckle up, please. Something's got to stop. Motion and airbags aren't enough. Do you want the seatbelt or the windshield to stop you? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury in your vehicle. And when you buckle up, it saves lives. That's in the driver's seat, the passenger seat, or the back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Dean Blevins coming up. We'll talk a little NBA and Hoiberg with him. What's Blevins' take on Hoiberg? Why it went so-so in the NBA with the Bulls? The magic of Oklahoma being good at basketball and football at the same time. Mm-hmm. Not just good, but they win. Jalen Hurts. Spring ball's going on at Oklahoma. How the hell's he doing down there? All he's got to do is follow Kyler Murray and the homeboy.
Well, if everything goes as the last two have, he's probably going to win the Heisman.
Well, let's not kid ourselves. Jalen Hurts is not even close to the thrower that Baker and Kyler are.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so.
I'm not, you know, not mailing it in.
No. But that's, you've had 4 years of excellence.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And he comes from 26-2, Turner Gill numbers as a starter, and was there for a championship, got his team to two championships. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. Is he going to be able to fit in down at Oklahoma? It's a nice luxury for Lincoln Riley. But I'm excited, man. I know spring game's a couple weeks away, but just the way the culture's kind of molding and guys are on their own, smart enough and mature enough to just make the best interest of football choices. That's so hard to do, I would imagine. It's hard to do when you're in your 20s or 30s or, dare I say, 40s. Is this a good idea? What's the outcome and effects? Greg Smith is next, recruiting analyst with HaleVarsity.com and magazine. We'll get his take on the Woj tweet about ongoing discussions. And I got to hear this crouton story about how you got the name. Was it a reference to your haircut?
No. I don't know if there's much story to it, but I'll try to remember.
No, that's fine. We'll hit it at 40 after next hour. But did you just eat a lot of salad?
Nope.
It's the only reason I eat salad, allegedly. It's because I like croutons. Hour two, Greg Smith next. Hail Varsity continues.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a recruiting hit. We'll also talk a little NBA with Greg Smith, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Greg, how's your Friday shaping up, man? Good to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. So far, so good. A little dreary out there, but for the most part, pretty good. You can't complain about a Friday, right?
Right on. Now, Nebraska basketball fans are... Man, they're sick of waiting. They want a moose, and they want Fred, and they want a podium, and they want it now, okay? And that won't happen. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting out, discussions between Nebraska and Hoiberg remain ongoing today for the school's head coaching job, sources tell ESPN. That was a few hours ago. Panic mode is probably... I don't know, DEFCON 5, but anytime Woj tweets something and it's not ... deal done, there's a rise in the DEFCON level here. How do you interpret that? I'm not worried, man. I just think it's people know that it's going to happen. So there's been a few national folks with Twitter just to say, hey, it's ongoing. Stay on the hook. Meanwhile, everyone's filling their head coaching jobs in college.
Yeah, I'm not worried either. I'm right there along with you. But I do think that there's paranoia is too strong of a word, but there's always a skepticism when Nebraska seemingly has a good thing going within the fan base, right? So think back to when, you know, all the buzz was around Scott Frost. Think about how much talk we had about the ways that it could go wrong, and then come to find out that, you know, he had maybe had cold feet at the last minute and had a talk with T.O. and all of that, right? So now that you're in this situation with Hoiberg, it's essentially the same thing where you felt like it's going to happen, but every day that it's not announced, you get a little more nervous, even though you know in the back of your mind that, man, all signs really do point to this thing actually happening. And I think the key thing is what you mentioned there about it seems like every time a job comes open, the team that has the job come open feels it pretty quickly, seemingly already have their guy, and it doesn't even feel like whoever is coming up in discussion for any other job, which is a great time for Nebraska.
Right, and he may not be coming up for any other job. I mean, his name's not been associated or mentioned with any others aside from UCLA, and maybe it's understood that it's done. My take is we had a gentleman's agreement, Moose and the mayor, and once Sparty gets done with the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight weekend, assuming they get by the Tigers tonight, then we'll talk Monday, as in here's Fred, or maybe later on. The grand plan that would work out beautifully is for Sparty to still be playing, if you're a Schmidt family member, not named me, and have Fred and the TV cameras next weekend for the Final Four. I mean, do it up 2.0 like Frost in the college football playoff. I don't know this, but I wouldn't think there's any hesitation at this point by now, unless he needed the Caribbean to think it over one last time. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get that sense either. I get the sense that they're just trying to plot out the perfect time to kind of roll this out. And I agree with the timeline there. I'd even go a step further and say it'd be great to then have Fred as the new Nebraska coach kind of on some TV coverage and that sort of thing. Also, you think about the position of the Final Four weekend kind of being basically a huge coaches convention, so he can get out there and kind of work the circuit if he still needs to fill an assistant coach slot or two. So, yeah, I think there's all sorts of benefits to maybe having this thing announced Tuesday or Wednesday, or have the press conference Tuesday or Wednesday, and then roll into the weekend with some positive buzz.
You know, and right now, I mean, do you get this feel too? Like, Nebraska basketball fans aren't used to having nice things, and I'm not saying that Tim Miles wasn't nice and PBA's incredible. So they've had some good things, and they have a great arena and a wonderful practice facility, and they've had an upper level of talent here the last few years. But when it comes to finally kind of stepping into that inner circle of programs with really big-time coaches, it's not been the case. Nebraska basketball fans are waiting for something bad to happen, aren't they? Doesn't it feel like that?
It does feel like that. And it's an odd position for Nebraska basketball fans in general to be in the spot to be getting kind of the hot name, right? So, like, all of this is just a little bit foreign. And you just get the feeling that you land a guy like Hoiberg and you're in the conversation then for tournaments every year, right? That's the expectation of a guy like Hoiberg comes to your school. So it just all feels a little odd. But I think the time is ripe for Nebraska basketball to be able to take that next step. It just, because of that excitement, it makes these days it feel like it's been months that all of this has been going on. It really hasn't. It hasn't been very long, but it definitely feels that way because of the excitement of surrounding Fred Hoiberg.
Well, time will tell here, and the announcement can't get here soon enough with Nebraska and their next coach. Greg Smith with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV is where you follow him on Twitter. Greg, I love reading your recons every Friday. Junior Day Part 2 tomorrow, Greg. And what's on deck here for Nebraska?
Yeah, so Nebraska will have another strong group of visitors, a mixture of 2020 and 2021 kids. And I think that the headliner here is 2020 outside linebacker, four-star Quandarius Robinson out of Birmingham, Alabama, who basically got the who's who of the SEC after him. And anytime you can get a kid like that up to your campus for a junior day coming from Alabama, it's a really big deal. The Huskers are high on him. If they can make a big impression on him and then maybe, you know,
jump out into his top group and then get him back on campus for an official visit in the fall for a game day, that'd be a huge win for Nebraska. So they're definitely going to try to put their best foot forward to do that. Then you also have another intriguing 2020 prospect, maybe a center prospect, Paulo Vaipulu, I'm hoping I'm not butchering that name. He's a offensive line prospect out of Texas. He goes 6'3", 303 pounds. And I've watched his film, man. He looks like he likes to hit people. So that's always a good thing. I think Greg Austin really likes him. And then you have a fleet of 2021 kids that are coming to town, led by Teddy Prochaska from Elkhorn South, big offensive tackle. Jalen Johnson, a cornerback from St. Louis, who I think is going to be a big-time player. And then Jermaine Hamilton Jordan, a outside linebacker from the Kansas City area, who's been on campus now a couple of times, getting him back around the staff. So they're trying to do some work for both the 2020 group and that 2021 class, which is shaping up to be another good-looking class.
Let's talk Turner Corcoran. He's out of Kansas, and he said no thank you to Ohio State. Is he that in love with Nebraska and some of the other offers, or was it more of just a distance thing for him?
So I think it's a little bit of both here. I think that the distance is kind of a leading factor in eliminating Ohio State. And I think we talked about this on the show before. I kind of planted that seed before where I thought that the distance was going to end up being an issue for Turner, especially once I learned from him about a month back that his family really likes to attend all of his games. As soon as any prospect ever says that, I automatically throw the red flag up to teams that are pursuing him from far away. But also a thing that I think to keep in mind about this is, remember we talked a long time ago when Urban Meyer stepped down about what the effect would be of no longer having Urban Meyer. You didn't really hear about top prospects saying to Ohio State, oh, you guys are too far. Like, that didn't happen under Urban Meyer. Now, this could just be a one-off situation with Turner Corcoran, but you never want to have a kid say thanks but no thanks being as good as he is, one of the top tackle prospects in the country. But I think it's Nebraska and Oklahoma in this one for Turner. I still really, really like Nebraska's chances. I did ask him last night if he had planned on attending the spring game, because now he has that date open, so he's not going to Ohio State. He said he would, of course, think about it, but he did not commit to doing that just yet. So we'll see if he turns up for the spring game. But if he does, I would put him on commit watch if he goes ahead and attends the spring game.
Would you be shocked if he doesn't attend? I mean, I think Nebraska's got to work on him to get back up here, don't they? I know he's been here a lot, right?
I would be surprised, especially considering Logan Smothers, who has been working him hard, Nebraska's lone commit right now, their quarterback for the 2020 class. Like, they've become pretty close. So I would be surprised if Turner doesn't make it here just so he can get some face time with the quarterback commit as well. But it's no done deal that he'll be here on April 13th for the spring game. But I think it feels pretty good that he'll be here. We'll see, though.
Let's talk a little bit here about three-star back Jordan Simmons. He's a three-star kid out of Georgia, and he'll be on his way to Lincoln at some point. We're talking Georgia, Michigan, Mississippi State. I don't know about you, but those three schools do wonders with running backs. And sign me up for more kids out of Georgia, Greg.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what I was thinking when he told me that he was making the trip. And he'll be here sometime next week. When I talked to him earlier this week, and he didn't know for sure which day it was going to be. That's not uncommon. Don't read anything into that. That actually happened with Musa Muhammad, who was just here. He was unsure ahead of time which day it would be. But Simmons will be here next week for a practice. And anytime you have, a kid out of Georgia, like you said, because Nebraska wants to continue to make headway down in Georgia, and you have those peer schools that are recruiting him at running back, like you said, do a fantastic job with running backs. So you know Ryan Held will be all over him. And I'll be very curious to see his thoughts coming out of that visit, because it quarterback has become for Nebraska, where it's pretty competitive to get those slots, to get a slot at quarterback for Nebraska with Verduzco and Frost. I think running back is right behind that in terms of how competitive it is to be able to be a running back here now, given how good Held has been on the recruiting trail and what this offense can do. So I'm always curious to see what kids think about trying to get involved with this offense as a running back. A
few more minutes. Greg Smith with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Greg, I know you had a chance to get caught up with Caden Johnson, another Minnesota kid, four-star linebacker, not just to flex in front of PJ Fleck, but they've got really good football talent in the state of Minnesota, and I like I like the linebacker kind of mold they're going after, guys that are pretty pretty long and lanky. And Caden kind of fits that, doesn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely does. He's a really good basketball player, so he's a really good athlete. Then, kind of like Jamin Graham is a lot the same way, the guys they signed in this last recruiting class out of Alabama. And they do kind of have a type when it comes to that outside linebacker, which is good to have, considering the flexibility that you need to be able to have to play that position. But anytime that you're going after, consistently going after the top players in the state of a team that is not necessarily a rival, but a team that you play all of the time, mm-hmm. So you can kind of help to get that double whammy of hurting them as well, that's always a good thing. And I am curious to see how that goes for P.J. Fleck, as, you know, the talent continues to get better and better in that state. And for him, kind of like it happened with Scott Frost in Nebraska over the last couple of years here, last class of the five in-state guys, this class will be pretty good, and then the next one as well. You want to start to lock that up to be able to really build your program. So if Nebraska can put a dent in the top talent in Minnesota and bring them down to Lincoln, that'd be a great thing. But Johnson really enjoyed his visit. He said already that he was thinking about making a return trip with his parents in the fall. So I think Nebraska did a great job with him and really impressed him.
Greg, let's spend a minute here on spring ball. We're halfway home through it, not far away from the spring game on the 13th of April. What's stood out to you so far with the spring? To me, I mean, it's one word. It's maturity with this group. I mean, they've been very, very focused. That was not just lip service this week when guys are calling it good on spring break a bit early to come back and stay tuned in. I mean, I love the contact and I love the maturity.
Yeah, locked in has been kind of the thing that I've been thinking of. This team feels really focused and locked in, and I think that that's a great sign. I feel like, and you know this as well as anyone covering this team, that I feel like sometimes you get those spring storylines about the team being more focused, they're lifting more weights, they're running faster, all of that. I feel like this is one of those times where that's all very real, right? And that from top to bottom, this team is not necessarily already playing with a chip on its shoulder, but they know what they did last year and even some of the guys the year before that, that they want to get away from that, and they want to do something different, and they want to be better than that and really represent for the state and for this team. So I love where they're at right now, just because the guys have just been locked in, and it's been drama-free for the most part around spring football this year. I think it bodes very, very well, especially that thing with the guys coming in Sunday to get the lift in and getting 7-on-7 to make sure they weren't super rusty coming back to that Monday practice.
All right, Greg, got a minute here or so. How much angst have you spilled over year one of LeBron with your beloved Lakers, my friend?
quite a bit.
I saw your tweet earlier, so I got to ask you about the, you know, the locked-in LeBron is what you're hoping for.
Yeah, I want even further than that. I want to take it a step further. I want the angry LeBron that wants to prove the world wrong. That's what I want for next year. I want to go even further than that. And hopefully the Lakers get that. I almost said Nebraska. I'm used to saying that. Hopefully the Lakers get that from him, along with another star and a new coach, Hi Ty Lue, and then we could actually get this thing rolling.
Well, but see, you may upset the apple cart here, because clearly Nebraska's got to go after Ty Lue when Fred Hoiberg says no at the last minute.
No, I'm hoping that doesn't happen. I'm hoping that the mayor is in town shortly, and then my beloved Lakers can get Ty Lue, and we can go win a championship. Then everyone can be happy, and all facets of my life will be good.
Greg Smith wants everybody to win. I like it.
Put that in a headline.
It's a T-shirt, right? I mean, first it's the Go Big Fred, and now everyone wins, and then just dash Greg Smith underneath. I like it for football season. Greg, have a good weekend, man. Thanks so much for a few minutes.
Hey, thanks as always, man. Have a good weekend.
Always love doing a little recon with Greg Smith. He is a sad Laker fan. But let's be honest, that's the best Laker fantasy. I didn't hate the Lakers. It's not a big Kobe guy. Now Greg will never speak to me again. Dean Blevins, why didn't it work in the NBA for the mayor? Dean will tell you next on Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you at Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's head down to Oklahoma City. News 9 sports director, sports animal, and former Sooner standout, Dean Blevins, with us at Dean Blevins, where you follow him on Twitter. Dean, have you enjoyed the madness so far, man? How you been?
Oh, things are good. Things are good. It is when Russell Westbrook is in your orbit, there is always madness. So that's a 365-day proposition.
Yeah, Russ is there's always something to talk about with Russ. We'll get there in a moment. But
yeah,
you've been covering Oklahoma during the NCAA tournament, and I know that Virginia did them in. You've seen Tech. You also saw Zion. He was in your region. Overall, right here, when we look at the Sweet 16, we see what Tech did last night. What's your gut tell you moving forward? I mean, is it Dukes to lose? Do you see Virginia hard-fought one against Dana and company last night? Do you like Tech?
No, I don't. You know, I like Duke. I've always kind of pulled for the Yankees and Duke and Oklahoma and Nebraska and Alabama, you know, the traditionals. So I like Duke. And I sure enjoyed watching Zion. However, how in the world can these people say that it's basically Duke's to lose? Because, I mean, I was in that arena, and they were very, very fortunate. Mm-hmm. I mean, lucky. Lucky to escape against a team that you wouldn't think would put them out. And they've sort of been that way. So, you know, Chris, that's a team with enormous talent, but that hasn't figured out and won't because they're all going NBA, hasn't figured out how to play the game together, you know? And they're going to be playing up against, even when you look at North Carolina, but you look at the Virginias and you look at the Gonzagas, you look at these other teams, even a Texas Tech's a good example. They don't match up with Duke. I mean, nobody does, but Tech sure doesn't. They got three stars out there. But they are so well coached, and they are a team personified. I mean, they know what to expect from each other. They are just so smart, and you know, they've been around. So Duke is not the given. Wouldn't surprise me if they won it, but I wouldn't take them. Certainly in a field versus Duke, I wouldn't take them. I hope Texas Tech, and this is the Big 12 homer coming out in me, I would love to see them be able to take this thing. I think they will be one of them in the middle of it. And who am I leaving out? Virginia is a funny team. They're mm-hmm. really good, but I mean, scoring 50 points, they've got the potential to score a lot more. They're an outstanding team, so they'll have a shot. It's going to be a great tournament.
It's weird with that Duke, Carolina, and Virginia triangle. I mean, Virginia swept Carolina. Carolina took two out of three against Duke, and meanwhile Duke swept Virginia. The one time I've seen Duke play together and they hit their threes was at Virginia. I mean, it was a different team. Maybe they could go into that mode.
Chris, I tweeted out watching that game the other night as the second game of their first two in Columbia. I tweeted out watching them as they continued to shoot three-pointers and miss. They reminded me, I didn't say this, but they reminded me of the Thunder. You know, Thunder's as bad as any team, and they have been the worst team at times this year statistically in the league at shooting threes, yet they'll fire them up. And Duke, yeah, obviously they're very well coached, but Duke is one of the worst three-point shooting teams, yet they will chunk it up there. So that's another example of, I think, other teams will be smarter.
Dean Blevins with us, News 9 in Oklahoma City, Sports Animal Oklahoma City, at Dean Blevins on Twitter, former Sooner standout. Nebraska's on the verge here of locking up Fred Hoiberg. That'll happen next week. That is huge for the program. Yeah. They were really good under Danny Nee. This is a whole potentially different stratosphere. I know you covered Fred in the Big 8 days. So what's Oklahoma's secret been with being one of a very few group of programs that have traditionally been good in football and in basketball? That's the next level for Nebraska. They're getting there with Frost in football. They need to do it with Hoiberg in basketball. How's OU done it?
Well, Fred Hoiberg will get it done. I'm not necessarily going to say unequivocally that there's a guy who's a college coach and not a pro coach. What we do know is he's a heck of a college coach. He will win Nebraska, and they will be in the loop. They will be a tournament team, and I expect them to be up there, although Big Ten has had some great tournament play. I expect them to be back into that mix, or maybe into the mix for the first time. In that league. Well, I think with Oklahoma, it's not been a fervent fan base the way you see in football at Oklahoma, Nebraska, and these other places, and it hasn't been by elite recruiting and that type of thing, but Oklahoma has been very well coached for the most part. You know, you think about the Billy Tubbs run, right, which was really better than a lot of people remember, because Billy's remembered for a character, but he was a darn good basketball coach. Kelvin Sampson had him in the Final Four as well. The other guys in there, I don't have much to say for, except Lon Kruger is really good. So I think it all starts with that. And Nebraska's got that coming in. And I think what they've been able to do is bring in the right people in terms of the important positions. Usually the point guard is really good, and the surrounding cast is pretty good, and then they coach them up. I think Nebraska can get there, and Oklahoma's been an underrated basketball program. In fact, I think it's just because of the football success that sometimes places like an Oklahoma basketball are not considered very good. They were ranked, I think it might have been a little bit too low, but all-time top 20 teams, they were ranked number 20. So it can be done, just as you said.
Well, it takes a special athletic director to prioritize both.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And
you have
that, and I think Nebraska has it in Bill Moose.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Sometimes you take those kind of things for granted. Get in there, Tiger. Strike it. There you go. You know, sometimes you take those things for granted, but I tell you what, wait until you don't have a good one, right?
Right.
And then this blows up.
A couple more minutes. Dean Blevins with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Dean, spring ball's going for Oklahoma. What's your impression of Jalen Hurts moving from the Tide to OU?
You know, I think it's a great move for him. It's going to give him a chance to play in the NFL. I think he will start. I think he's going to find out that the success that Baker Mayfield had, not for 1 year when he won the Heisman, but for the two previous years when he was a Heisman finalist in one of those years, and just the great success that he had in making two football playoffs and winning the Heisman. And you know what Baker brings, and the off-the-field moxie. You and I and your audience have talked about this before, and I've been right with you, because that's what's helped him do what he's done already in the NFL. And even though Kyler Murray didn't have that type of, I call it moxie, but that loud leadership, he still was so darn good, just go score, and he did it, and he was a leader in his own way. A long way of saying that while I think that Hurts is a good young man, I think he had an unsuccessful 25-minute opening press conference a couple of days ago. I think that he doesn't maybe quite understand what he's following. When you come from Alabama, you know, you're king of the hill, and I have all the respect in the world for them. But you're going to a new place that has played football a little bit as well, and I think you need to give due respect, and I think that you need to realize what greatness there was in front of you, because these fans are as spoiled as any in the country, and they're spoiled with the quarterback play, and I don't care if Jalen played at Alabama and what he's done in the past. If he doesn't come close to doing what those other two did, Chris, it won't be a fun honeymoon. So without getting into too many details, I think you can kind of get my drift. I think he can improve on the PR part of it. We'll see if he's a good enough thrower to fit into this system, or if Lincoln Riley is going to have to alter it to a significant degree.
You just nailed it. Can he get the throws done in the Oklahoma offense? Bama could run it, and he could run it, and it was okay. About 2 minutes here, Dean. The Thunder right now, you look at OKC in the seventh spot. What needs to change, if anything, before the postseason gets rolling?
Well, Paul George's shoulder has him possibly out again tonight in a huge game against Denver. That had him out for several games, and it had him in a funk coming back. Oklahoma City goes nowhere without a healthy Paul George. Russell Westbrook can't be jacking up too many shots, and Russell Westbrook must bring intensity every night to be a leader for this team, to follow in his footsteps. I'm talking mostly from an intensity standpoint defensively, because they get cocky when they go play a Memphis, and they've lost more games to the Memphises of the world than they have to the really great teams this year. And it's only because of an arrogance that they think they're going to win and they don't go out and play well. So they'll have to play maximum ball defensively to have a chance. Russell can't shoot as much, and they have to get back to the way they were. Chris, you follow them fairly closely, mm-hmm. so you remember how good they were earlier in the season. They could beat anyone, but they've been in a slump where they almost couldn't beat anyone. So I'm not very optimistic about them right now.
Last thought, 30 seconds. Hoiberg in the NBA, why didn't you think it worked? Was it his situation? Was it his locker room? Or why is he more of a college coach if he is?
Well, I didn't see an assertiveness with him with player relations, and we're looking at it from such an arm's length,
right.
We don't know, but it sure seemed that way. Billy Donovan sort of has that same approach to the players, a heck of a nice guy, and obviously a fabulous coach, but he's not a guy that's going to get in Russell Westbrook's face and tell him not to shoot threes and to play harder defense. He'll do it in a tactful way, and I don't think that the Popoviches of the world do it in that type of way, and I sense, don't know, but I sense that's probably what we were looking at there with Fred in the NBA.
There he is, Dean Blevins, Oklahoma City Sports Animal, and of course, Sports Animal at Dean Blevins. Follow him on Twitter. Dean, thanks for jumping in with us, bud.
You bet. Love to talk to you. Go Huskers.
There's Dean Blevins on Hail Varsity. We caught up with him before he went out and played golf. Back from the tournament, Oklahoma bounced, had a chance to see Zion. Love his insight on the NBA. I mean, what's Hoiberg's personality like in the NBA? What type of coach was he? I mean, I can't, with a straight face, ask Bulls fans, because they started out 5-29. They blew a 2-0 lead to Boston. They missed the playoffs. I mean, they're TO'd, the mayor. Now, you got square peg round hole with a Thibodeau style of offense and personnel and a Hoiberg offense. I do like Hoiberg before going to the Caribbean, before going to D.C. tonight, spending time with Kerr in Golden State. And I just don't... God, I'd be surprised if anyone in the NBA came calling before Monday.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding down a Friday, good stuff from Dean Blevins and Greg Smith this hour. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825 5865. So here's what we need to know about Nebraska baseball. It is sunny and it looks pleasant in Minneapolis if you're on the BTN to go app. And things got working well with Mr. Mojo Rising. Mojo Hagee, leadoff bomb for Nebraska baseball. They were on top 1-0. Nebraska had a lead going into the middle part of the ball game, and things got tied up in the third, one apiece between Nebraska and Minnesota. Nebraska has left some runners on. Waldron's been tremendous for most of the game, but bottom of five, Minnesota took the lead 2-1. So Waldron's pitched well enough to win. There was some damage done in the bottom of the fifth, but Nebraska escaped, went down in order in the sixth, and right now that's where we stand with Nebraska baseball, down 2-1. Here's what you have. All right, you have a garbage Big Ten this year. Mm-hmm. Minnesota is your preseason favorite. They started out horribly. I think they've won 7 out of 9. So they're better. But as Saul Goodman would say, define good when he's locked in a room with Heisenberg. Yeah, I'm alive. But define good. And what you have this year with Nebraska baseball is a team that really has responded with since Oregon State. Like, they kind of got smacked around. And they've won against Tech. They've won against Baylor. Mm-hmm. They beat a crappy Michigan State team. But, Colton, Nebraska's a team that at times slips or sleepwalks through a series like Michigan State, where they'll win one but not 2 out of 3. Nebraska swept. They're healthy this year. Their pitching's been really good. They've not been walking people. Mm-hmm. The stress pitches have been very good. When there is somebody on and it is a tight count, Nebraska has been fabulous. And again, throwing strikes, what a concept.
Yeah. to the point of the offensive nature of Nebraska baseball, a fun game I like to play when I look at the boxes is how many men were left on base. Because that is always, I mean,
that's your kick in the junk.
Yeah, and it's not like it's Erstad's fault, but or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But since Erstad's been here, it's regularly in the double digits, and that's not something you want to see when you're losing games like 3-2, 4-2, and you're leaving 12 guys on base or 9 guys on base, whatever it is. But while they're still doing that occasionally, there are times where it's been less. The pitching and like you said, the health has been up, and that's something that they haven't had often in the past few years. Last year they were plagued with injuries immediately right out of the gate. You've got a bunch of guys blowing elbows, shoulders, and this year you've got a starting three that, given they stay healthy and given that
you need the live chicken and the snake and whatever supers, you need Joe Boo at the foot of the mound to make sure they stay in a plastic wrap before they need to pitch.
But you've got a starting rotation, and you've got enough relievers, again, healthy relievers, at this point of the season that, you know, you should be looking to, you know, take 2 of 3 every time you go out, you know, every time you go out for a series. But the offense is always what it falls back on, and guys being left on base. And I think personally that's what the most aggravating thing of watching Husker baseball is. You can usually get over the pitching thing because, you know, these are still college kids. You can say that in football, basketball, baseball, and fill in the sport. You never know. It's a lot more mental than physical a lot of the time. But it's just so frustrating when you lose by 1 run, but you left 12 guys on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, 6-game win streak. Defense has been the key to that. Pitching's been the key to that. They've been able to get outside a little bit, which is good, which is weird to say, but at least they were. Gorgeous night against Creighton.
Mm-hmm. And Creighton used 8 pitchers.
Right, and that was big. I mean, listen, you got Waldron, Fisher, and Edens this weekend. Mm-hmm. That's been good for them so far, so good this year. It's been consistent. And offensively, I mean, it's big for Nebraska to not strand runners. And I mean, they've left a few on so far, but moving forward in this is a series you got to take 2 out of 3.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, that's kind of what you want the goal to be anytime you go out there. And like we were talking about earlier off air, this was the one sport, well, I would say of any, that you thought if Nebraska is going to dominate for a long time, it's going to be baseball. And the reason being is no other school in the Big Ten is really a baseball school because
they don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Ohio State will be good for 2 years. Indiana will be good for 2 years. I mean, they had Schwarber and all that. Mm-hmm. Minnesota will be good for a year or two. And then and come tournament time, you've got the sixth seed winning the tournament, and then they make it to the postseason. It's like, why is Nebraska falling short? And is it offense? Sure. Is it health? A lot of times, yeah. There's been plenty of speed bumps in the road, but yeah, this series, if you can win your first two series in conference play, I think that sets it up pretty good for the rest of the season.
Got to do it. Get out to a 5-1 mark, 6-0. Because really, who's playing worth a damn right now in the Big Ten?
Your guess is as good as mine.
I mean, like,
Maryland got swept by Creighton.
Yeah.
Illinois is pretty good. They snuck into the top 25. They just lost Indiana State on Tuesday. Not sure who they play this weekend. Michigan's a team you always got to watch out for. Just, they're good, but it seems like they kind of fall short at the end of the season.
It's really been Illinois.
Yeah. So Illinois, in my opinion, is probably the team to look out for right now.
Yeah, well, and you've had such a screwy spring.
Yeah, no one's really played consistent baseball. And I think that's the other big thing. You talk about health, that's a big issue, but consistency. I mean, the pitching has been fairly consistent, and the offense hasn't been inconsistent. But if they can consistently play the way they have been, it'll set up shop pretty well for the conference.
Just got a tweet from Kevin Suits, our media partner with 1011. And you had a play here with Acker. Round and third on a base knock to left. Acker got home. Minnesota, an error. Ball went to left. Cut off, came to third. Two-hopper, Barry Bonds throw, quite frankly, from left field. And it was bobbled. Nebraska has tied things up at two. So there you go. Tied at two in the seventh. We'll wind down a Friday next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, thanks for spending time with us today. A lot of talk about Hoiberg, recruiting, spring football, a little Husker baseball snuck in there. Hoiberg as an NBA coach from Dean Blevins, recruiting recon with Greg Smith. Parker Gabriel, good to get caught up with Parker again on some spring football and some Hoiberg watch. And yeah, Woj made some folks nervous, made some folks, Woj tweeted about Nebraska. Woj has never tweeted about Nebraska. So kind of all in how you interpret your mention on his timeline. Adrian Wojnarowski is the most locked in NBA resource. Mm-hmm. He is the godfather waiting to push a button on somebody, it feels like, when it comes to the NBA front office. If NBA front office people and coaches don't play nice with him, he does not play nice with them, with his takes and talk about them.
And if he tweets it, I mean, it's usually true.
So ongoing discussions.
Could be a lot of things.
Yeah.
Could
so what's ongoing mean? As in, they're on page 7 of 45 with the contract signing?
Or it's signed, but who here, can you know, they bring
here's,
in?
Here's the other, here's like another angle to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I think it's clearly, I think it's this. I think it is one of two things. It's Woj, like, just staying in the loop, right? Mm-hmm. That, okay, I'm still locked in. I know what Hoiberg's doing. Or it might be one final Hail Mary to the Timberwolves or other NBA teams that may want to make a change.
Yeah.
I honestly think it's good. And Nebraska's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And the discussions that continue maybe about assistance or salary. I don't think snag is the word I'd use. Maybe just finalizing.
Yeah, the one thing.
But you've kind of heard like Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like, I think you're right. Woe's just kind of staying in the NBA circle of news because it still does pertain, because it's basically saying like,
all right, this NBA coach is going to college.
Yeah, he's not going to be in the NBA. And
unless somebody in the NBA wants to make a move.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's so much like holding up a sign that says, this is your last chance, or if it's just like, no, don't worry about it. He's going to Nebraska. They just aren't quite done yet. I don't know. I don't think it's a cause for panic unless on
Monday. I want Hoiberg cam all night tonight on CBS.
Someone might have it.
I want Hoiberg cam on CBS tonight. Him and his lovely family, three rows behind the Michigan State bench.
If anyone's wearing red, by accident.
Well, see, next week in the Final Four is when you roll him out in front of the cameras.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wearing that red N pen, that red tie, like Frosty at halftime and pregame of the college football playoff and the national championship. It's all good. Back at you tomorrow morning, weekend edition at 7 a.m. We'll talk to you then. Thanks.